Well, well, what's a crack? Got something a wee bit interesting for you today, something a wee bit different, but something that I had an absolute blast doing, and I know that you'll really, really enjoy it. So, Ragdogs is a new startup founded by six young women from Bloomfield Collegiate School in East Belfast through something called the Young Enterprise Northern Ireland Company Programme. Now, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you know I'm a massive fan of Young Enterprise Northern Ireland. I went through this exact same competition when I was in school that we're going to be talking about today, and it has had a massive impact on my life. So I was really excited to sit down and chat to them. So the group, being barking mad about the environment, have developed a series of products around two passions: taking care of the planet and having fun with their dogs. Ragdogs produce handmade, eco-friendly dog toys with materials that would otherwise be sent to landfill sites, and have partnered with animal welfare charities like Assisi to create a profitable business with a social impact. So after making their way through a series of highly competitive competitions against other student businesses, Ragdogs are away out to London today to represent Northern Ireland in the UK Young Enterprise Final. I had the absolute honour to sit down with them to discover what they've learned along the way, how they feel about the big final in London, and what it's been like to juggle starting a business with your A-levels. Unbelievable. So I was absolutely blown away by the success these young women have had, the wisdom, and of course, the great banter. And I know that you guys are going to really enjoy it. So without further ado, here we go.
Hi, we're Ragdogs from Bloomfield Collegiate School.
And we're barking mad about the environment.
And you're listening to The Best of Belfast.
All right, guys, what's the crack? My name is Matthew Thompson, and welcome to Best of Belfast, the podcast that celebrates our wee country, Northern Ireland. Each episode gives you the opportunity to get to know and learn from some of the incredible people who call this place home through our unfiltered conversations. The show is brought to you from our recording studio in Ormo Bass Barclay Eagle Labs, a co-working space right here in the heart of the city centre. Support for Best of Belfast comes from our Producers Club, where listeners just like you pledge as little as £1 a month in exchange for exclusive perks, invitations to live podcasts, some Northern Irish swag, and much, much more. Massive, massive thank you to all of you who are part of that, especially our Titanic producers, Town Square Cafe, Gavin Wall, Ali Hart, Young Enterprise Northern Ireland, and of course, the Ormo Bass team. We could not do this show without our producers, and thanks to your support, we can keep it running and allow it to stay ad-free. So, really appreciate you. To find out more about the great work these guys do and support us on our journey to 100 interviews, please visit bestofbelfast.org. Okay, that's it for me. Time to jump straight into today's conversation with this week's local legend.
So I can eat dry Cheerios. I just eat sometimes
dry Cheerios. Have you ever
tried Weetabix and Cheerios in the same bowl?
You know what? Only whenever I'm desperate and like I've ran out of Cheerios and haven't had enough for Cheerios, and then you throw it in, and like best decision ever.
It's the nicest. Have you ever?
Yeah, so
tried.
Epic.
Your I love Weetabix.
Will be changed. No, either day, but your life will be changed. It's so nice.
Game changing.
Yeah. Game changing. I used to like when cereal was soggy.
Oh, yeah, I'm not so
you have to eat it quickly.
Yeah, no, I love to eat it quickly if I have it. I can, I don't know why, and that's
crunchy nut cornflakes. My favorite cereal still of all time is Bran Flakes. Bran Flakes and crunchy nut cornflakes and Rice Krispies, and love Shreddies. And
Shreddies are good.
Crunchy nut cornflakes are up there, and Frosties.
The only time I ever had cereals like that was when I went on holiday, and you know, you get like wee mini.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. They're so good. Although everyone always picks the good ones first, and then there's nothing left.
Yeah. I used to eat cereal 3 times a day. I used to eat it in the morning, after school, and before I went to bed. And I'm not even joking.
Yeah.
Don't do that anymore. I eat it like twice a day now, but
it's got down.
Cool. So moving away from the wonderful topic of cereal and into
Raggies.
Your company, into Raggies. One of the questions we sometimes start off with, this is the hardest question you'll get all interview, I promise, okay? This is a good opportunity for you to pitch, okay?
Okay.
You walk into an elevator, Liam Neeson standing there, you have a short wee ride up, how do you pitch Ragdogs to him?
Hi, we're Ragdogs from the Bloomfield School, and we're barking mad about the environment. And then that's how we always start.
Barking mad.
And then that's our wee slogan on all our posters and everything. What else would we say?
I think we would just kind of talk about our product and what we do.
So what is your product and what do you do, Catherine?
So,
you know what, Polly?
We have the Russell and the Jack as our products. They're both £5. Where the Jack's got a tennis ball on it and then the Russell's like the integrated, like weaving technique sort of thing. So we do that and then we obviously sell that on our website and we also have a lot of sales generated through social media, like Facebook and Instagram and then Twitter as well. We get a lot of retweets. So that's epic. Good.
And do you guys make the products yourself? Do someone else make them for you?
Yeah, our products are completely handmade. But we've also like recruited some year 8 and 9 pupils in our school as like a genius sweatshop, and they come and like make them, and we bribe them with sweets. And we're also trying to get in contact with Orchardville, which is like a charity for like people with disabilities, and they like make stuff. So we're hoping if our production levels get too low, then we'll have to recruit them.
Yeah. We didn't actually say what it was. It's dog toys made of old t-shirts.
Yeah, we didn't really say that.
Eve, that's why you're here. You're here to keep everyone on track. The details, yeah. Woman.
100% recycled.
Yeah.
Eco-friendly, yeah, saving the planet.
We just kind of use year 8s when we had high demand and we had little time, really.
Yeah.
But at the minute, we're just making them all ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's cool. So I also was in your shoes, did Young Enterprise School. Absolutely loved it. Time of my life. Wouldn't be involved in business today if it wasn't for what you guys have just gone through. Take us back, way back to even the year before you were doing Young Enterprise. Like, how did you guys find out about it in your school? Because for me, it was basically like, right, Wednesdays, mate, you can either go and play rugby or you can do this thing called Young Enterprise. What's Young Enterprise? I don't know. It's some sort of like, you set up a business with your mates and you just do that. And I was like, ah, that sounds all right. What were your guys' experience? How did you find out about it?
Well, Mr. McAvoy sort of just sent us. He's our teacher. He's in charge of all of it.
Shout out, Mr. McAvoy.
Yeah, shout out, Mr. McAvoy.
I love that.
And he just sent us out like an email and just like anyone who wants to do it. And there was, I think it was only us who replied being like, yeah, we want to do it.
Yeah,
so it was probably just lucky, all six of us, then we replied. So then
we
had an application form, had to do like a CV, say we wanted to do it, and then we all got chosen, whatever. But I wasn't into business at all. Like, I didn't think that I would like ever be interested in it. But now after this, I'm regretting not doing it for A-level.
It's definitely taught me something that I already knew I wanted to do business, but this has like definitely convinced me of what I want to do when I leave school. So
cool.
It's helped.
No, I actually didn't know I wanted to do business. I did visitors GCSE and I do it for A-level. Like, I love the subject, but I never thought before I did this that I wanted to go into business. Mm. But now I've kind of figured that would be something I'd like to do.
Yeah, cool. And so do any of you have any like previous business escapades? Like, were you ever like selling donuts in school whenever you weren't supposed to be, or car boot sales, or was this your kind of first entry point?
I think this was the first for me.
Yeah.
When I was in primary school, I had a wee tuck shop. Like,
but go on.
No, I did. Like, I used to bring in stuff and I used to sell it. I don't know if you remember, but I did. in like P6 and P7, like, I asked my teacher and we were supposed to give the money to school, but I don't know what we actually did.
I sold them in like year nine.
So you were walking in with that kind of tuck shop, car boot sales sort of experience.
Yeah.
So whenever, did we use all mates before Ragdoll started?
Well, I think we were all, we all know each other. We've been in the same year for like 6 years. But I think like we've definitely all become like a really close group of friends, as well as, you know, a business together.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's been nice to get to know people.
Before, we were all kind of in separate friend groups. I know some people were like friends, but most, like, we didn't really come together until this.
Cool. So you went in, you started a new year, you started Young Enterprise. What were some of your early company ideas? Like, did you run with something before Ragdoll?
Yeah.
We were like so set on this idea of scrunchies,
right?
Weren't we? So we wanted to do like, what was it, like high viz scrunchies, so that when people were walking, so when people were walking to school, then like it was like a safety aspect of it. But then like it was like this was like a day, and then Erin texted and she was like, guys, didn't think this is like the best idea. I think we should rethink it. So then, but it really didn't take us long to think of the idea.
I remember the day you came in and you said something about the pet market being like
a
really big like market, and there was like a gap for like environmentally friendly stuff, and if there was, it was really high priced. Like, they were like, how much was it on like £8, £9?
Yeah,
above £9, and we were like, that's too much. So we wanted to make something that was a bit cheaper but was also saving the planet at the same time.
No big deal, just saving the planet.
Yeah. And our products like are 100% recyclable, like our tags, our string, our business cards, packaging, everything.
Yeah.
Is 100%.
Have you ever seen 101 Dalmatians, the cartoon version?
Yes.
Right, so you know at the start, there's like that wee scene where the owners are walking the dogs and they both look alike. Like the owner looks like the dog and they all kind of have the same sort of hair. You could roll this like previously unused scrunchie product as like a wee like partner product so that the owner can wear something too. Somehow find a way to get that recycled. Unbelievable.
No, just smack. We came up with a grand idea of wearing rag dogs in our hair, but
yeah, with the presentation wearing dog toys. Yeah, we quickly shut that down.
Yeah, we really did.
So, how did you start to then take an idea into a reality? I know it's a massive question.
I'm trying to think.
I think it was like we sort of all knew that. You know, it was a big market and there was a lot of, there was a gap. Like, I know that there's a lot of dog toys out there and there's a lot of pet stuff, but we knew that there was a gap for like cheaper environmentally friendly stuff. But we did have to think of a way that we'd be able to do it and make sure it was sustainable and everything.
It took us a while to get like a supply of clothes. So we had, first of all, we were going to like shops like Tesco and Next and like ringing them up and being like where do you send your clothes, because we were reading that loads of them send to landfill. So we rang them up, they were like no, we don't do that, and they like weren't giving us anything. But then when we were like looking into it, me and Erin, we volunteered in a charity shop. So we were asking the woman, she was like, yeah, we have rag bags and they just go to like a factory or something. So we're like, right, well, you're not going to use them. So could we take some of the stuff? So that's what we've been doing. We've been going to Oxfam, and because Ballyhack's so good because there's so many charity shops. So that's what we've been doing, just going there and like taking the clothes that they're not going to use. And that's been our main source of like... Yeah. Supply, but that was hard at the start. That was a challenge.
Yeah, it was definitely. And then we also set like a clothes bank up in school, so we put like a bin outside
smart.
The assembly hall, and
really
like
smart.
Like a lot of people actually did put stuff in it. They don't really anymore, but they did. You know, teachers were quite generous giving us stuff and everything.
And is it t-shirts that you needed? Is that the kind of core material?
Like
like pajama bottoms or like t-shirts, like that sort of stuff.
Cool. So for the people listening, like you've told us what the product is, but like what actually is it? Like, is it like a chew toy?
It's kind of like a tug-of-war toy.
Got you.
And then the tennis ball one, obviously, you know, the dog can, like, play the tennis ball as well.
So the Russell, it's, like, weaved. So you know those toys where you pull it and then there's, like, the holes in it?
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So that's that one. So it's, like, more, like, intricate, takes longer to make. But then the Jack, it's just plaited. So, and then there's a tennis ball through it. So then it's, like, a tug toy, but it's more, like, a fun toy.
Yeah.
A lot of people say that they're like dogs love tennis balls, so that's why we made that one as well.
And then so when we were looking at the start for the tennis balls, we wanted to make our product like 100% recycled, but at the start we were just getting them from like, were you getting them from Poundland or something? And we're like, right, this isn't sticking with our brand at all. So then it was actually open night. I was taking this family round and he was saying like, do you need recycled tennis balls? So I was like, yeah. He was like, well, I work for David Lloyd's.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh great. So I went over to David Lloyd's and he gave us these massive like bags of tennis balls because they literally use them like 3 times and then they're done. So he gave us those and they look like brand new. Like you wouldn't think that they'd been used. So then
we have so many of them.
Yeah,
as well,
so he gives us those and then we drill holes in them with our technology teacher and then put them on the toys. So,
I thought you were just gonna end that sentence with our technology, and I was like, naive. I know you're supposed to like big up like what you do, but like I don't know if a drill is like exclusive technology. Because it's always like that. Whenever you're pitching to people, you're like we sold t-shirts, that's what we did. And see the amount of stuff, like the way you spin your story is unbelievable. It's like, you know, these are like bespoke in-house designs. Designed like world original, and they're like, oh, you mean your mate made it for you? Yeah. So good. So I know part of the young enterprise journey is then going to trade fairs and selling to the general public and shopping centers and that sort of stuff. Catherine, what was your first sort of like trade fair experience like? Was it a instant success, you went and you sold out, or what was your experience?
It was actually St. George's Market. We had went there, we're selling our products. We actually did get quite a few sold, but we didn't win any awards that night or that day.
Salty. So we were very
salty.
Yeah, so we didn't win any awards, but I think it was a good experience kind of just to see, you know, like our first like sales and kind of like how we operate and stuff like that. And then after that, it was the Victoria Square, and that was good as well. That was when we won the Belfast area, and then also customer service and digital presence. Yeah. So we were all happy about that because that got us through to the NI finals. And then that night, we also had our school Christmas fair. Was it?
It was after St. George's.
After St. George's was the Christmas fair.
Yeah.
And that's when we sold out that night.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that was good.
I think for that, during those like trade fairs and stuff, it was nice to like get actual feedback from like, because obviously we were just sort of getting feedback from like our teachers, and obviously they are all like,
support us.
And, you're
like,
superstars.
But it was nice to actually get like comments from like, and we literally had people buying them who didn't have dogs. Like we convinced them.
We actually did.
We sort of thought that was quite good because
they're going home playing it with their spouse. They're in the back garden. How did you manage to juggle the act of keeping a lot of stock, having to make a lot of stock, and then selling out? Like, did you ever have too much? Yeah. Did you ever not have enough?
There's a lot of times we didn't have enough. Like, for this, we have a lot coming up at the minute, and we really didn't have enough stock. So I think we sort of set a limit. So we're like, okay, we'll make four, like four, each of us will make four per week. Mm. And then by the end of the week, we sort of all bring them together. And then we automatically... Yeah. have a lot because we've all made four during the week. So
well, we've got quite a reasonably big group. Like there's six of us, so if we each put in like a little effort, it'll make like a big amount. But we've never gone to a trade where we like feel like, oh, we didn't make enough. Like that one where we sold out, like that was two trade fairs in one day, so we were like, oh no, like we couldn't have made any more. We had like 200 toys. Like
we sold a lot, and it was that was very rewarding.
Love the buzzword there. Very good. And what was the first time you were starting to pitch, starting to be kind of in the competition side of the company program?
That Victoria Square.
Victoria Square was the first pitch.
Yeah, because there was awards at St. George's Market, but it wasn't a proper competition. It was kind of just they had awards for people.
You're saying that because you didn't win.
Yeah.
It was a competition, but it didn't actually really result in anything. Like,
yeah, yeah. It was like a friendly football game.
Exactly. Although we all were a bit raging deep down. But you know what, it's fine, like where we are now. So.
Did that motivate you?
I think it did.
Because I think there's a lot that's motivated us.
Yeah. So like, well, for like the next one, then we were like, right, like we knew we can do well. So we're going to like pull out, like for the presentation, we'd rehearsed it over and over and over again. And like we just wanted to make sure it was perfect. And for the interview at the stall, like we just wanted to make the best that it could possibly be.
Mm. So. You say a lot motivated you, Polly. Like, what else motivated you?
I think, like obviously seeing our success, like, not even just, like, selling, but, like, there's actual people, like, reaching out to us, like, on our Facebook, being like, we want to work with you. Like, Carolyn Stewart, us reaching out to her and her replying and meeting with us. Like, I think it's just the fact that the amount of support we have from people, like, our school and everything, like, we've realised how much this is actually, like, a proper thing.
Mm.
And, like, I feel like it's motivated all of us, and we're all so passionate, and we're like, we all want this to succeed. So,
see, on like a bigger picture, like, would you say Northern Ireland is a good place to start a business?
Yeah.
Why?
It's a good community.
Well, there's lots of opportunities as well, like with the Young Enterprise, and then obviously, like in Invest NI, like you have a lot of, like, encouragement almost, and like a lot of like reason to start. Like if it wasn't for Young Enterprise, like I know it's in England as well, but like if it wasn't for that, then we wouldn't be like
where we are today.
Yeah, and then like I wouldn't be interested in business at all, where actually I am interested in business now. So it, like, yeah, I think it's a good place.
There's a lot of opportunity. I think it's because it's a small place as well. You know, it's easier to get in touch with people, and it's easier to, like, you know, get opportunities and stuff too. So
yeah,
it's been good.
And then I don't know what way they do it now, but I know back in the day there was almost like a county competition you entered into. So how did you progress from to the final, basically? What were the steps to that, if makes sense?
That was the Belfast trade area.
Yeah, so that was when we won Victoria Square.
Yeah, cool. So basically, like, each school, like their Young Enterprise, they all have like a region they're from. So there's like different regions, but we were in the Belfast, and then after we'd won that, we got through. But there's quite a few regions I don't know how many there was.
But there was a lot of work involved getting from Victoria Square to the actual final. Like, we had a lot to do. Like, we had to think about things that, like, other businesses and stuff had done, like, make sure our social media, like, I think our social media is the best anyway, but, you know, like, improving it and just making everything be, like, perfect before the Northern Ireland finals. So,
what have you done on social media that's really worked for you? Because you were saying, Catherine, you've done a lot of sales on social.
Yeah.
That's obviously been a big part of what you guys have been doing. How have you gone about doing that?
Polly is our social media person, and she does, like, such a good job.
Polly.
Yeah. Like, she's done the website, and she's done, like, she's been so interactive on the Instagram. Like, we've had, like, polls and countdowns, and, like, she's been posting stories on, like, dogs buy our product. Or not dogs buy our product.
That's the future, mate.
And she's, like, been, like, doing videos on it, and, like, honestly, so many people have said that, like, our social media is so good. Like, she's worked so hard at it, and I think it's brilliant.
Yeah,
so,
that's awesome.
I think it's just Polly definitely
big round of applause,
like, promoting our product as well, because we've done, like, the bundle deal, which was like £7, and we've done, like, at Easter and stuff like that, and the Valentine's Day. So I think that was definitely a good way just to generate more sales.
Yeah, our sales always increased at those, like, different bundle deals. Yeah,
definitely. And then just promoting our product and all the photos as well, and it's all been really good. It's really good layout, I think.
really good.
And we have, like, people, like, sending in pictures of their dogs with the toy then posting it.
That's
like,
so good.
Yeah.
So you were, like, you accidentally said the dog was buying something, right? But I was chatting to one of my mates the other day, and his dog, I'd be careful because it's a secret, but his dog has its own Instagram page, and it has, like, loads and loads of followers. But they talk as if it's the dog's Instagram. Mm-hmm. And apparently, I thought this was so rare, I never heard this in my life. And apparently, like, loads of other dogs are, like, commenting underneath it. Like, people, owners pretending to be their dogs. Have you come across that online?
Yeah.
You do that?
My dog has an Instagram.
Yeah!
It's actually my sister that runs it, but she hasn't posted it on in a while, to be honest. But we actually, when we had started up Ride Dogs, I'd, like, promoted it on it, but I don't know if we got very many followers from it. But
he does have, like, 1,000 followers. Rag dogs, and his dog might get a wee feature.
Yeah, because you know, like, a lot of companies now, they work with influencers, and they send them, you know, fake tan, and then, you know, they promote them to their followers.
Yeah.
Like, it would be, it's almost like dog influencers.
Yeah, we have done that.
Like, Reggie the cockapoo.
Yeah,
he's, like, quite, like, a famous, and Ralph the lassie or something. Ralph.
All these big names in the dog world.
Big dogs.
Big dogs.
Yeah. And Helen Anderson
and Lush Leah.
Lush Leah.
Oh wow.
Lush Leah and Helen Anderson are YouTubers. Helen Anderson has, like, 700,000 subscribers, so she's got a lot. It's 1 million over both of her channels, so it's quite a lot. And then Lush Leah has, like,
nearly
100k. Her dog and Helen Anderson's dogs have.
But we've got loads of followers from them. Like, when
it's amazing.
We just got, like, all these followers coming through. So
class. Ever seen the wee dog that flies around C.S. Lewis Square on a skateboard?
I think I am.
You should work with him. He's a big local dog.
Oh, we should reach out.
Yeah, you should reach out. I think he's definitely, like, relatively famous in the dog world. So I'll have to think. I'll actually make a wee note of that and see if I can. I'm just going to write down skateboard. That should probably. you do a lot of stuff with Assisi. Am I saying that right?
Yeah. So we have, like, a kind of, like, a partnership with Assisi. So we, like, reached out to them because obviously they're, like, a big dog charity. So we met. So we met up with them, and Joan, we shout out. She was brilliant. She came into school, brought her dog Quincy, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he was really cute and played with our product. And then we went up and visited them and got some pictures and stuff.
Yeah, they were also talking about putting our products in the shop. Like, in their Assisi shops, but we're still to organise that because we need to get the sign.
Yeah,
that's what I wanted.
It was good to, like, partner with them because they could test our product on their dogs because they had some, like, massive dogs. So they tested out our product and they gave us some really positive feedback. Like, they thought it was good.
We also took our products to the Streamville farm to the puppies.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I had a great day. and we tested on them, and they actually loved them. Like, we were a bit surprised. Like, we thought, like, puppies, like, they're not really gonna, like, they actually loved it.
That's great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that was fun as well.
What other feedback did you get from some of your earlier competitions or being in front of, you know, judges or a panel or whatever? What pieces of feedback then made you make a lot of change? Like, was there any kind of constructive criticism came from the early days?
Or was everyone just really nice to you?
We never really got, like, have we got, like, really negative feedback? Like, that was one thing about the tennis balls. They always, they were saying how, like, it wasn't 100% recycled and that could be good if it was. Because, like, we would really be sticking with our environmental, like, status. So then that's when we, like, reached out to David Lloyds and then we got that connection. Cool. So that was, I can't really think of anything else.
Don't really think, like, we did.
No, I don't think, I think everyone's been really supportive rather than positive criticism. Yeah.
So then walk us through the actual, the pitch for the final itself, because that's quite a big deal, because this year you were pitched in front of, like, a live audience. It was big, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was really scary. It was
like Dragon's Den Apprentice sort of stuff, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was mad. Like, we had to stand up and obviously, like, pitch our ideas, and, like, our presentation didn't go great, like, if we're being totally honest. Like, I sort of forgot what I was saying a bit. Like, Polly had to come in and, like, say my bit, but, like, I feel like it was, like, just nerves, like, we were, because we so obviously wanted to do well. But then we went into the interview, so it was with the judges, so it was Pete Snowden, Eleanor McAvoy and Bill Woolsey, and so we did the interview in front of them and it went, like, really well. Like, they said our interview was, like, perfect, so I think we sort of redeemed ourselves after that. But yeah, the presentation was stressful, but you know, yeah. it was a good learning experience, because we know next time that, well, you know, we'll have, like, a cue card or something to read off, like, keywords, because that was my problem, because I forgot what I was saying.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, why did you just really want it? Like, why did you just care about it? Because I was, like, so totally into my young enterprise company. Like, it was, like, it became my life for a year. Like, yeah. I really became obsessed. And not a lot of teams have that. Some teams do, and it's typically the teams that have that that then are, you know, involved in the competitions. Why did you want to win so bad? And I'm guessing, why do you really want to do well in London, you know, going forward, and you go over for the UK final?
I think it's because, see, like, when you make an idea and when you have your own idea, then, like, that's what you've, like, created. So, like, you want it to do the best it possibly can. So, like, it's like, and some companies say if they've, like, shipped stuff in or stuff, but we've actually thought of this own idea ourselves and we're making them ourselves, and, like, we've spent hours and hours and hours, like, plaiting or, like, weaving these toys, so, like, it has to be for something, you know. So that's why we were so, like, motivated to do well in the Northern Ireland, so then to go on to do well in London would be, like, great.
Yeah, it would be. Then we get to go to Europe after that.
Yeah, so let's talk about London. Like, for the people listening, what does that look like?
Yeah, so
it's, that's,
like,
crazy.
It's like like 2 nights we go, but it's, like, basically, like, the busiest 2 days. Like, we have to do, obviously, like, a presentation, and then there's an interview at our stand. So, like, the judges will come around and, like, ask us questions. And then we also have, like, the big presentation, obviously, and then we'll find out on, like, the Tuesday night. But after we do the presentation, mm-hmm. we'll find out if we've won or not. And then there's, like, a third, second, and first. And then there's other awards as well. There's, like, creativity awards and stuff.
Yeah,
even if we won anything we'd be happy, but I think to get this far, it would be, like, amazing.
Yeah,
to win, like, I think it really would be, like, the biggest thing ever.
Is Ragdoll something that you can see continuing after the Young Enterprise journey?
Yeah, no, I think it could definitely, like, from our sales, we've got, like, a good idea of where it could go. And we were thinking about continuing in the summer and going to, like, different trade fairs and selling our products there. And then obviously just continuing to promote, like, online and stuff like that would definitely help generate more sales, really.
And then obviously there's been, like, shops that have reached out to us in England as well, like, wanting to sell our products, so we can continue to do that, like, selling them to those shops so you can then sell them as well, so just to keep up, like, our sales revenue and stuff.
So now I couldn't wait to ask you guys was, how have you found juggling business with your academic life?
Yeah, I think that was a big thing. We gave up, like, I'm not even joking, I think the study supervisor was getting a bit sick of us, like, every single day, can we sign out for your enterprise, can we sign out, like, all the time. Like, we, up until I think, like, 2 weeks before our exams, we were all, like, fully doing it, like, just kept going. Like, on Wednesday we have, like, how many, 7 study periods, and we were signing out, like,
the whole
Wednesday. Like, any study period opportunity we had, we were basically, like, signing out.
Yeah.
But obviously when our exams came, we just raced on them and had a break. And then we got back straight back into it when, as soon as our exams were done.
Because yous are 17?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot to be doing, like, and I'm sure maybe some of yous had, you know, it wasn't just school and business. You probably, some of you had sports, some of you maybe had an instrument, some of yous maybe had, like, what personally did you guys, how did you manage the, I'm going to say stress? I'm just going to phrase it like that.
Well, see, when, like, so because it's dog toys, right, and we're making them ourselves, it was, like, quite, like, not easy, but there was, like, a time where you just, like, say, like, watching TV or, like, you're in bed, then you just, like, make a dog toy and then go to bed. Like, see, like, that was quite good that we didn't have to, it wasn't, like, drilling and, like, you know, it was quite, it's, like, not, like, it's quite simple, like, you're just, like, weaving and stuff. So that was, like, a good thing because we had, like, we could set time aside. But then as well, like, coming up to our exams, we had to, like, be realistic and be, like, our exams, you know, they're really important. We just have to take a step back and focus on them instead of Ragdolls, because the whole year we've just been like Ragdolls.
Yeah.
And like we always say that it's sort of like doing another A-level.
Yeah.
Like, so, like we give up so much work and so much time to do it. So it's like, it is a stressful experience, but I think it's all worth it.
Definitely, because even like as well as study, we were also given up lunch times to do it as well.
Yeah.
Because we weren't obviously all in study at the same time. So if you're in class, so just kind of get us like all together, we had to give up lunch time sometimes.
Yeah, there's a lot of lunch times given up.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's some weeks where we just, our entire lunches, you know,
every
like
day.
The whole.
Wow.
Yeah.
Study periods, commitment. Every day, lunchtime.
Commitment, yeah.
Sometimes even break time, form time, like honestly.
Because, yeah, every form time.
Yeah, because there's obviously behind the scenes stuff, like all about like your finances stuff and then your packaging, like that stuff that like people who are buying it maybe don't see, but then it's a massive part of the business. Like you need to, that needs as much care as like making them as well as the production line.
Big time. How have you guys managed the team dynamic? Like, has there been any bumps along the road? Of, I say this almost sarcastically, like any falling out or anything like that, obviously.
this question is like,
that's her favorite always, question.
Right, Polly, the floor's yours. Right, where you go?
At the start of the year, okay, we, like, you know, there's obviously as a team, there's always going to be disagreements. People are going to have different views. People are going to think people, like, you know what I mean? There's always going to be a disagreement.
Yeah.
So, there was like a big fight one time.
Don't need to go into detail.
I'm not going into the details, but there was like a big fight where it was like the team like basically got divided and like three of us were like unhappy with the other three, vice versa. And it wasn't too good. And there was like a lot of shouting, a lot of tears. There was a lot of anger and hatred at that time. But you know what? I am not even joking.
Eve,
right?
Your PR woman's like, no, cut, stop it.
Coming out the other side of that was, I'm glad, this sounds weird, but I'm glad it happened, because coming out the other side, we were so motivated and it actually helped all of us, because I think we needed to have like a discussion to make sure we all knew we were all on the same page. Mm-hmm. Everybody was pulling the weight equally. Everybody was, you know, doing everything they should be doing. And I think that if we hadn't have had that chat, like, people, it might not have been the same, so I'm glad we had it.
It also kind of cut the tension, like, after we kind of sorted everything, it kind of just, like, it actually just, we kind of came out, like, closer, on the better side, you know?
But the thing is, like, it's hard because we weren't, like, none of us were really, like, that close, and then we were all suddenly, like, pushed together, and, like, we had to work together as a team and have all these different roles and, like, try and figure out, like, the dynamic of the group. And then it was, like, the first meeting, like, we were all, like, had designated roles, and maybe some people didn't want those roles or those roles didn't suit some people. So then it was all about, like, people were trying to find their way into the group, but, like, we were, like, you know, we were all basically, like, we weren't, like, close friends, but then, so we were just, like, figuring our way, you know, like, through. But then now that we've overcome that, we're all, like, we've got our roles, like, or the roles have changed, or people have joint roles, you know, it's more, like, dynamic group now than it was before.
Like, that was literally the only, like, there's not really, sometimes obviously there's going to be disagreement, but it rarely happens anymore. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think that's always, like with business, you're always going to have some disagreement.
Yeah. But then it's healthy as well, because like, say for the, like if we'd gone with the scrunchies, everyone was like, yeah, that sounds great. And nobody had spoken up about doing the scrunchies.
Go on, Erin.
Because there was people there selling scrunchies at one of the things, but like we wouldn't have been.
We wouldn't even be here right now, to be honest. I don't think
wearing our rag dog fleeces.
Exactly. I don't think we would have got this far if we did that, to be honest. Yeah.
No, I don't know.
I just got a good market, I think.
Yeah, and we wouldn't have got here. We always have to give a wee shout out to our business advisor, Claire Templeton. Absolutely. Queen. We love her a lot. She's really, really helped us and been so, like, always, like, given up her time to come and help us, as well as Mr. McAvoy, Mr. Irvine, and Barbara as well. They've given up so much time. We definitely wouldn't be here without them either. So, big thanks.
That's cool. Yeah.
Big shout out.
Potentially another triggering question. This is just based on my young enterprise experience, okay? Yeah. And that is, have you ever had to deal with different levels of commitment from people of the team? Because always in the team, there's always like people who are like in it to win it. They've like already tattooed rag dogs on their arm. They're like ready just to go for it. And then there's other people like, mate, like I'm just doing this as an extra crick. You're like, what the flip?
I think there was times where people thought that others weren't pulling their weight, but then the other people were like, but we are, but we just don't know what else to do. You've taken our role, so we're stuck. Like, what do we do?
It's kind of like sometimes people would do extra, and then it's like, what do you do next? Like if
what do we do? You know,
It's hard because some people are like have the mindset of like they knew like what to do and when to do it, but then other people like they like say they need to be told, like it's like not bad, but they just need to be told what to do or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's just like figuring out like who, like how the group dynamic works and how like who does what.
But we're all in like that's our why the roles proper roles now.
Yeah.
And we
yeah.
all know, and like I think we're all completely equal in what we do in the group. And like, there'd be some people that make more toys and there'd be other people that wouldn't make as many, but then we would do more like things like we would ring places or like go to the events and stuff, like take the photos. Like, you know what I mean? It's we all have jobs and we all like the new roles have meant that we're all like literally putting the equal amount into the business. So
yeah.
Cool. One of the questions we always end interviews with kind of a couple of stock questions, questions we ask everyone and just kind of hear their different responses. One of them is, one of the big things we try to do as podcast is to celebrate people, because Northern Irish people typically don't like talking about themselves. You know what I mean? Like you're like, oh, you're class. And they're like, ah, oh, no, I'm all right. Like, I'm all right. So one of the questions we kind of put in there is, tell us one of the most successful moments of your life. Now, for you guys, I'll kind of re-spin that into what was the most successful moment for Rag Dogs so far?
Winning. I just think it was the definitely winning the Northern Ireland final, was something that we can't, like, obviously we wanted to win and that was our goal, but it was nearly unexpected. We kind of were sitting there like, honestly, we don't think it was us. It's really intense.
I think it's safe to say for all of us, like, that was definitely a highlight of, like, well, for me anyway, like, it was definitely a highlight of my life. Like, it sounds, but it really was. Like, honestly, like, I didn't, when we started it, like, I really didn't, like, obviously I knew it was good and I knew that, but I, after that, like, St. George's Market, I was like, flip, like.
I think that's what motivated us, that we wanted to do better, because we'd seen our competition then kind of as well, but we just thought, right, we're in this to win it.
But I knew how much hard work we all put in, so I feel like that was, like, showing. So I think, like, in a way, like, we did deserve it.
Like, yeah. But that was definitely the highlight.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's even just the whole experience. Like, I was there in City Hall that night and it's like a big dinner and everyone's suited and booted and like, oh, it's just a class experience, like, isn't it?
It was really nice.
The magician
didn't come to us.
And the dancers were class. Do you remember the dancers?
Yeah. This magician for about a month. There was going to be this magician. And the magician was there, but it didn't come to our table.
And we were like waving at him.
We were like waving. Like, staring at him like, come on, come on. He never even came.
So funny. Polly, like, I actually relate to you. Like, when people ask me that question, I actually say, like, what was the most successful moment of your life? And I would say, it's winning. It's like being there at the dinner and just in like, that moment. Because there's obviously things that have gone on that I'm really proud of, and I'm more proud of than having a t-shirt company, obviously.
Yeah.
But something about like in that moment, it's just like all the hard work, all the effort, it just kind of like pays off in that instant. Yeah. And you're like,
Wow. It was really emotional.
It was. I was like, pure crying.
So upset. Like, yeah, not upset, like,
but like happy not crying.
Upset. Why did we win? Like,
no, but I think, like, I don't know. I feel like it was like, so, like, it's always been something that I've not ragdogs, and like, I've not wanted to do ragdogs since I was born, but you know what I mean? Like, like, putting myself out there and like being in business is something that I've felt like is always, people have always said to me, oh, like, you'll be into business, like, blah, blah, blah. So I feel like now, like, the time, like, it's actually come, and I'm like, flip, like, we've actually just won Northern Ireland Company of the Year.
Mm.
And like, it's just a bit mad, like.
It's cool.
I know.
Honestly, we all sat around the table holding hands, and we were all, yeah, like, we were all like, squeezing each other's hands. And then they announced it, and I didn't hear it because I was like, in the thing. And then they said it, and our business advisor was like,
yeah.
And it, like, her face, picture. And it was amazing. And then, like, we all just started crying, and we were like, what the flip? So
good. There's a really scundering video of us. I actually found it yesterday.
Oh.
Of us, we made a video of like our final, like, going and getting, mm-hmm. and we were so daft, like, we like, rented a limo, and we were like, we used like company money to like pay for this limo. We would not do that again. And but it's like, it's us, and it's like 8 years ago, and like, I get, you see it, you see the camera turn around, like, whenever it's like, it's announced that we win, and like, all of us are just like, we're so scundered, you know what I mean, like, because yeah, we're so there's so happy,
and it looks like I've won a Grammy, like, I'm standing there like this, like, there. It's like in the corner, like, and then like, it's honestly, it's my favorite photo. It's so, and the, like, somebody did take a video of our reaction, and like, you can just hear the screams,
so good.
And then you just turn around, and me and Catherine are like fully crying,
and I cry my eyes,
and it was just so surreal, like, it was amazing. And like, I'm not being like, but it was quite nice to like win over other companies, because we were like, do you know what, like, yeah,
yeah,
not gonna mention any names, but it was nice to.
Wee bit of friendly competition, like, yeah, you were saying, exactly, Catherine. Yeah. If it wasn't for the St. George's Market, that wee bit of encouragement, it's all good.
Yeah, because I think you have to lose to appreciate winning.
Oh!
Oh, take that microphone out of the stand and drop it. Unbelievable. Cool. The kind of twin to the last question of success is, tell us about the most challenging moment of the Ragdoll's tale.
It was definitely that.
I knew you were going to say
a little fight. It wasn't really a fight. It wasn't a fight. It was a disagreement this stuff. And it was... But
would you not say, like, most challenging is, like, keeping up with, well, like...
That's fair. Yeah, like, demand. Challenge. Yeah, like, actual challenge in the company is that.
Yeah.
But, like, but challenging it is moment. A challenge in business. It's like...
Yeah, because, like...
Yeah, usually you say about...
So, like... We've already said, but like, keeping up with demand, like getting the supplies from charity shops and like getting the toys made and everything, it's just, it's hard to keep it up with demand, and that was a challenge we all faced, because we all needed to be like, right, I need to spend like an hour making like 5 toys, like, it's just mentally, yeah.
Nice. Get comfy, Polly, you may as well.
Backseat.
Work away. Just you recline there. Don't fall off your chair.
A wee funny moment was, I'll tell you this. So before the Ragdoll's final, I fell down the stairs. Not before it was
Jennifer Lawrence style.
Yeah,
or?
So it was on the Thursday, and on the Tuesday, another thing. I fell down the stairs and tore my ligament. So I had to go to the Ragdoll's final in slides.
You know what? I actually remember that. Yeah. I remember being like, "Why is that just like the cool thing to do? Like wear sliders?"
I was wearing a big bandage up my leg and a big pair of sliders, and everyone was like laughing at me, and I was like,
"And then every single person who came up to you, like, look, I'm wearing sliders."
Yeah, no, it's because I wanted to like people. I didn't want people to think I was choosing to wear them.
Yeah, because you could kind of see them through.
Yeah, and then I was wearing a big pair of sliders, and everyone was like, "Fully, why are you wearing that?" Like, can't wear heels.
What has been your biggest lesson from Young Enterprise journey? And this is personally, you can all say something if you want, you don't have to say something, feel no pressure.
You go first.
My biggest lesson,
you've been nominated as tribute.
Yeah. Maybe like perseverance. Like, it's like, it's hard to keep going and keep motivated, especially like when there's that period of time where like between say St. George's and Victoria Square, where we have to keep on making products and making the presentation, but there's like, there was nothing in that time, so there was no like, almost like no encouragement, because we hadn't won anything yet, and we still had to keep on making all these toys for Victoria Square. So then, and then to get to Victoria Square and then win something was like a real motivation. But I definitely think like perseverance and knowing that there could be like a good outcome was like really like,
yeah, So I think the biggest thing I've learned is that, like, you know, in life, like, you need to, like, if you believe something, like, if you believe in something and you believe that something's going to work and you have a passion for something, like, don't let anything stop you. Like, we have had, like, you know, like, little setbacks along the way, and, like, we have, you know, there's been times we've been like, oh, like, this isn't going to work. But, like, I think all of us genuinely have such a passion, and I think it's a big lesson to learn is that, like, if you have a vision and you have, like, a dream for something, like, just, like, try your best and work hard and try, like, just really work towards your goal, and, like, you will be rewarded. Like, I thought that, especially after St. George's, I was like, flip, like, this isn't, like, nothing's going to happen out of this. But then I think after that we were all motivated and we were like, okay, like, look at this, look at the work we've put in, like, we can do this. And I think if you have a mindset of that and a positive mindset rather than looking at it negatively, then you'll be great.
It's awesome. Another wee question we always ask people is, if you could take anyone from Northern Ireland out for coffee, who would you take? Where would you take them? And why? And they can be dead
from,
or alive.
From Northern Ireland?
From NI, Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Eamon Holmes.
Yes?
Yes. That's him. Eamon Holmes is my fave. My dream is going this morning. I'm hoping if we win London, you know, this morning. Eamon Holmes, honestly, I absolutely love him.
Yeah.
Like, he is unreal. I would take him out. I would take him to, like, a wee place. Like, I'd take him out for a wee dinner, you know, somewhere like, somewhere in Ballyhackamore, you know, like a wee, like, Mexican or something.
Have a wee chat. Acapulco, were you
Acapulco,
saying?
Acapulco, yeah. A wee, you know, a wee chat. Maybe a wee trip to Cafe Nero. Take him out, you know, have a wee chat.
And if it goes really well, a wee Spoon Street after.
Oh, brilliant. I would love to meet Eamon Holmes. That would be unreal.
Cool.
That's mine.
What is next for you guys individually and as a team, do you think?
I think our next step is really preparing for London. We have a lot, like, we basically have, like, a full week this week of Ragdogs. We've had Ragdogs every day, and next week is going to be so full as well, like, getting our presentation ready. We have, like, a big event on Sunday. We're going to this, like, Winnie Hill. It's like a kennels in Hollywood, and it's like their 18th birthday celebration, so we're going to sell there. We have U105 tomorrow and Thursday. Like, we're going to Wellington on Friday to present our product. We have car boot sale next week. Like, we have a lot on.
Yeah,
but we need to prepare. But I think after the final, like, we would like to, like, look into, like, Ragcats, which has been in discussion for a while. But I think because a lot of people ask us at trade fairs and stuff, like, why, like, I only have a cat, like, why don't you have any cat stuff? And we did make, like, a prototype, so we do have an idea for it. So I think that would be, like, sort of getting that launched and getting that in the works would be really good. So yeah,
sweet. And any plans to go to uni for any of yous? Any plans to start your own business? Any plans to become a plumber? What's it looking like?
Well, we've still got a year next year in school. And then, so I'm pushing off to the back of my head. I'm not thinking about that yet. But I think definitely continuing Ragdogs is, like, at the top of my to-do list at the moment. Mm-hmm.
I want to go to Queen's and do business management. So, like, obviously, you know, I've learned a lot from being in Ragdogs, and obviously I'd like Ragdogs to continue, and hopefully, like, if we're still in uni and it's still going really strong, like, that'll be my focus. But, like, I think business management would be, like, a good degree, because I would learn, like, a lot more, and it's definitely something I want to do, and, you know, be, like, a manager of, like, a big business, or set up my own and, like, be the, like, CEO. It's not be fun.
Boss lady.
Girl power.
Get it done.
I want to go into business in university as well, somewhere over here. I don't know which university yet, but we'll see, obviously, with the results and stuff like that. And then I don't think I'd mind setting up my own business. I'm kind of, like, running a wee business with nails at the minute.
Nice.
Just finding a wee service.
Fantastic.
But I don't really know. I do want to do business and then just kind of see where it goes from there, really. Mm-hmm. But I really enjoyed it at GCSE and A-level, so hopefully it'll be good.
Cool. Final question, guys. If you could turn the studio into a time machine and go back to yourselves just whenever you were starting Young Enterprise on the first day, you had a couple of minutes of your own time, what advice would you give yourselves?
Don't waste brain power on the scrunchies.
Yeah, like, don't waste time on stuff. Yeah. And be like, I think at the start, like, we're quite negative, so yeah, just stay positive the whole time.
Yeah, and I think, like, probably working as a team more, because I feel like for a while we were just kind of like doing our own thing, but we weren't really like, we didn't really have a lot of, like, we didn't have good communication at the start. I don't think we were kind of more separated and stuff, so I think that would have been maybe better at the start, but it's better now, like we've got through that and stuff.
Definitely.
Cool. Where
started at the bottom, now we're here.
Now you're barking mad about the environment. Yeah. Class. Yep. Ladies, thank you very, very much. Appreciate your time.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for
being here, barking mad about the environment.
Making the mad trip from Ballyhack to here, like, fair play.
Big long journey.
Unbelievable. Absolutely class crack. Ladies, thank you so much for being a part of this. Have an absolute blast in London. I hope that you enjoy every moment of it, that you learn a lot, and that you just go and pitch your wee hearts out. Flip and go for it. Your company's class. You've learned so much along the way, and your ability to communicate all that, I think, has been really, really impressive. So thank you very much for giving me your time and for agreeing to do this podcast. And I wish you every success for the future as well. If it has been your first time listening today, thank you very much. Really appreciate you tuning in. This is a podcast called Best of Belfast. We release roughly hour-long conversations with incredible people from Northern Ireland every single Monday morning. We've interviewed over 50 people. We do this because we think Northern Ireland is an incredible place to live, and that's a place worth celebrating. You can check out who else we've interviewed over at bestofbelfast.org. And that's also where you can contact us to suggest guests. And it's also where you can support the show financially to help us on our journey to 100 interviews. Other than that, thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your week. And until next time, all the very best. Cheers.